That's okay. Keep going. This is a pre-tape.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a content marketing platform that we're launching here in a couple of weeks, and we're trying to get the word out to let companies know that we exist and that we're out there trying to help companies do their marketing easier, better, faster, and more affordably.
Okay, so what we're going to start with, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Wibben, like ribbon.
Wibben.
Yep.
Did I pronounce it correctly? John Wibben.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. You have your company's not new. It's just your product is new. Am I right?
That's right. Yes, correct.
Okay. So we'll try, and if the introduction doesn't sound right to you, we'll do it again. Okay?
Okay.
All right. 5 seconds for my engineer. My co-host is on assignment, but we're lucky enough today to have John Wibben with us. His company is about to launch an exciting new product, and we asked him to join us to tell us about that and more. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Don. Nice to be here.
Okay. John, first, tell us a little bit about yourself personally, then your company, then your new product, and finally, your website.
Yeah, you bet. So my name is John Wibben. I've been around in the marketing business for about 15 years. Written 3 books on content marketing. And content marketing is, for folks who don't know out there, is using content to attract an audience instead of advertising. Advertising has been around for decades. Content marketing has been around really only for 9 or 10 years in the digital form, where we use blog posts and emails and ebooks and website pages and press releases and all kinds of social content to connect with our audience. And that's really what content marketing is all about. So fast forward to the current time frame, and we built a platform to help you manage all this content that you have to do. I mean, if you're a big company, even a small company, you're doing a lot of different kinds of content now, and you're trying to plan that and create it and distribute it and analyze performance and all these kinds of things you got to do now. So our platform essentially helps you do all that. It's called Content Launch, and we're launching the product here in a couple weeks. So it helps small companies and small agencies, is who we really built it for, to get all that content done effectively.
Well, John, first off, your company, what's your company?
Yeah, the company is also Content Launch, so the product is the same name as the company. And we've been around actually since 2003, but for most of that time we were a marketing agency and did a lot of content, wrote a lot of content, and through that process found out the pain points and the issues the companies had with getting content done effectively. So the platform really came out of 14 years of being in the trenches and writing content for over 700 different companies.
Okay, so as a newsman, as long as I've been, we kind of look at news is one thing and content is something else. And
mm-hmm.
In fact, if I hear you correctly, you're creating content which in some way or another encourages the reader or the listener to come back to you, to your company. Would that be a...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're using blog posts and ebooks and white papers to attract an audience, to get them interested, not about your product and your service, but about something that's educational that you can teach them, you can help train them, you can give them encouragement, you can motivate them, some way to connect with them in a way that's not pushing your product or your service on them, at least not in the beginning. You're trying to build a relationship with your customers and your prospects, and that takes time. The first 4 or 5 or 6 touches with that prospect, you don't want to be pitching them. Now, with advertising, you are, and that's really the difference. Is with content marketing, you're building a relationship through educational resources, educational content, whether it's a blog post or a white paper they download from your website, in hopes that you've given them all this great education over a period of weeks and months, that when it comes time to buy, they're going to think of you because you just gave them all this great education.
Okay. Well, that goes on a supposition that what you're telling them is truthful. Am I correct?
That's right. Yep.
No, because it's an issue. It came up, and I'm not being adversarial. I'm simply trying to point out some of the things that were brought up at a recent meeting I went to. But, for many years I was told APAR was a carcinogenic inducing agent. Now it turns out it may not be. People have said that you should sugar substitute product, and now they're saying maybe you should. I mean, those are products, but also those are food products. But you're sitting there as a small company or a medium-sized company or even a big company and educating a consumer what you perceive as being the correct things to do. But that's really relying on the company to guarantee that it is truthful and as real and as accurate as possible. But how does the average person know that that's the case?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think whenever you're writing something, producing some kind of content, whether it's video or in the written form, you really need to, do your research, cite your sources. Just like when I write a book, I'm looking at, hundreds of sources of materials, magazines, other books, newspaper articles, interviews online. And so whenever you're producing some kind of content, you need to back it up, right? You need to have that those sources cited, and you need to quote, reliable sources that have been, in fact, proven true and correct. So it's not just your opinion. You want to put some of your opinion in the piece, whatever it is, whether it's a blog post or an ebook or white paper, whatever the content is. But at the end of the day, it has to hold up, and it has to be researched, and it has to be referenced. I wouldn't even read a white paper if it didn't have, 10 or 20 sources where I could go back and check those sources if I had a question about what I was reading. So I think, in light of the last two or three years in the political environment especially, you're right, the truth has been harder to find. I would say with the more, B2B topics, which we've helped more B2B companies, I think it's easier to be accurate and truthful because there's so much out there that you can cite, and some of it is sort of understood and known to be true kind of in the industry, if you will, no matter what industry you're in. There's not as much opinion type pieces out there in the B2B world. It's more about, educating someone and then backing it up with your research. So, but your point is well taken in the fact that's always going to be important. It's always got to be accurate and correct. And if it isn't, guess what? You're going to find out real quick, and you're going to be called out on it. And so you don't want to be called out as being, dishonest or untruthful, because then the content can come back to bite you and actually not serve you well. So, yeah, super important to be accurate and truthful. And I think if you do your research well, then you're going to be well on your way.
You're right, and unfortunately, I'm very, very much interested in this subject, having been a reporter for more years than I care to admit on the air. I go from hot type to the electronic world, but uh-huh. I cite just people say to me, well, it was in. Right now I've lost it. I'm having a senior moment. Now you really caught me because I'm having a senior. What is the universal encyclopedia that everybody cites nowadays?
Oh, Wikipedia?
Well, yeah. Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you see why I rely on other people. But if the story I have to tell, which people say, well, it's in Wikipedia, and as if that's the end-all source. But a friend of mine is the keeper of all knowledge for a major television network. And his newsroom, which was world famous, called down and said they asked him about a fact concerning it. And he told them the fact, and they said, well, Wikipedia says something different. And he said, well, I don't care what Wikipedia says. I was there. You know, Wikipedia is generated by people, and again, not checking. So I always have a, how should we say, I take everything that it says with a grain of salt. And the same way with stuff I see on the internet.
Well, yeah, one thing I wanted to point out, Don, and you bring up a really good point, is, you know, the onus is on the reader, too, the consumer. There's a responsibility on the part of the reader of the content to be well-educated and read a lot of different material from a lot of different sources so that they understand what's real and what's not real, right? I think one thing that's been missed in the last couple of years, especially in the political environment, is, hey, you got to educate yourself. You can't just read one thing and then think that that's the truth. As a reader, as a consumer, as someone who should and wants to be educated, you should be well read and you should read a lot of different things so that you can find the fake news, if you will, when you see it. Now, it's not always easy to pinpoint it, but you know, it's not the responsibility is not just on the producer of the content; it's also on the receiver and the reader to make sure that they've been well educated so that they can point out a fake piece of content when they see it or a source that maybe is not reliable. So I think that's something that kind of gets missed along the way when we have this conversation.
Well, that's an excellent point. We're talking with John Wibben. John, your website again for our listeners?
Yeah, it's contentlaunch.com, like you're launching a rocket, Content Launch. And it's a content planning and creation platform that's helping a lot of companies get all that content done quick and easy.
Well, now let's go a little deeper into it because I'm fascinated by knowing what it takes to generate even one story. How does your system work that it makes
so
it
there
easier?
There are four modules in our platform. The first is plan. So we help you plan your topics for your content. We have three or four planning tools in there where we look at existing content that's out there. We look at what's trending in Google and give you you know, real easy ways of coming up with lists of topics. The second module is the create module. That's where you actually produce the content. And you can have your writers write the content in our platform, or you can have our writers do it for you. You can order content right inside the platform. And that content then comes back to you in the platform. You can review it, ask for edits. So that's really easy to use. And if you do want to create the content yourself, we give you all the tools to do that. We provide full workflow so you can create tasks for your team, a full calendar so you can, you know, set deadlines and stay organized. The third module is the calendar, which I just mentioned. So kind of getting you know, organized and make sure all your due dates are set up and you know what's coming up when. Then the fourth module in the platform is what we're calling Collaborate, and that's where you can get with influencers in your industry, find out who the influencers are to connect with those folks and bring them into content projects so you can get more audience, you know, more eyes on your content. So that's kind of how the platform's set up, and by using these four modules on a daily basis, we're able to, you know, cut production teams' time down by 30-40%. Because it's all in one place. You don't have to, you know, get lost in emails and, you know, Google Drive and Google Docs and all the other tools that people use to get their content done. It's all in one place. Your planning, your creation, your distribution. And because it's all in one place, you know, everyone can go there. Everyone can see what everyone's doing. It just keeps everyone organized and efficient.
Well, let's back up. How much does it let's say I'm a small business. How much is it to set up the your program, and then how much for content writing?
Yeah, so we do have a freemium version of the platform, so folks can check it out and use the free platform, free version of it if they like. Our paid version is pretty affordable, and one of the reasons we decided to build the platform is we thought that there were a lot of content platforms that were just too expensive and out of reach for a lot of smaller companies. So we priced it at $100 per user per month, and that gives you full access to everything and full distribution and full use of all the tools. Compared to other platforms out there, you're looking at 80 to 90% reduction in costs over a year period. Now, if you want to order content, that's an additional price or additional fee. So blog posts range anywhere from $60 to $100 per blog post. And that's a high-quality piece of content written by a writer that is vetted and experienced in your industry. And by the way, the content's guaranteed. So if you don't like it or you want edits, then we'll keep making edits on that content until you're happy with it. So that's how content works. If you need a larger piece, longer piece, you know, it kind of goes up from there. But we really hang our hat on the fact that we're affordable so that every company out there, large and small, can finally get in the game and use a content platform for their content production needs.
So it sounds exciting. It's one of the reasons we invited you on the show is because our preliminary analysis seemed to make sense. But let me go a little deeper and ask a question. What kind of a staff do you have to do the content? As a writer, I'm always curious.
Yeah, we have. So we did a partnership with an outside content platform. We brought them in, did an integration with them, and it's just about a U.S. exclusive. They did a couple other integrations with a couple other technology partners, but we have access in our platform to over 10,000 writers. And these writers are from all different backgrounds, all different experience levels, and you can choose which kind of writer you want in our platform. Based on your budget and what you can afford. So we have a wide range of writers from all different disciplines, all different industries. Really can handle any writing project that comes our way.
It sounds exciting. So the information world is exploding. I mean, we're in 2018, soon to be 2019. Can you have imagined where we are today in the year 2000 when we started all this?
Yeah, I hear you, Don. I'm 47, and I remember typewriters, right? When I was in third and fourth grade, I learned how to use a computer on an Apple IIe in 1982. I did my first essays in middle school on a typewriter, so I go way back myself, and things have changed significantly since the late 80s. I'm going to take it that far back, and it's exciting because things have, not only have they changed so much, but they've gotten advanced so much more, and there's so much more access to this technology, and there's really no excuse for anyone now. I mean, there's all kinds of tools and platforms, and I mean, the real challenge now is, you know, we've got so many choices. The hard part is picking which one to use, whether it's a platform or a tool or whatever the case might be. But hey, we live in exciting times, and I can't wait to see what the next 10 years brings.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yet what came across my computer this morning was a new survey that said only 8% of small businesses really have a social media program. Is that surprising where they generate content? I don't know if you've seen that survey yet. I got an advanced copy. Is that jive with your numbers, or what have you heard?
Don, it does, and it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of small business. Look, if you're a small business owner, you're wearing a lot of different hats. Your time is just limited. Social media for a lot of companies is a nice to have. We all realize that that's a great place to be and connect with new audiences, but it's usually low on the priority list when you're trying to, you know, please your customers and pay the bills and make sure your employees are paid and all the rest that you got to do as a small business person. So what I recommend to companies that are having a tough time with social media is find a young person in their 20s who is really good at social media, hire them on a part-time basis. There's a lot of folks, young folks, that they're out of work or looking for a job. These are the folks that live on social media. can pay them 15, 20, 30 bucks an hour for maybe, you know, 10, 15 hours a week, and they can handle your social media presence for you. That's what I recommend to smaller companies. It really is an investment. Some folks will see that as a cost, but if you can gain a foothold and grow your audience on social media, for example, I've got 11,000 followers on Twitter, and I get business deals out of Twitter because I have that kind of following. I've got 8,000 connections on LinkedIn. I get business deals out of that, right? So social media can really be, in the long term, it can be a revenue driver for your business. So that's what I recommend for these small companies that are struggling to catch up or to, you know, keep feeding the monster of social media, because that's what it is, right? I mean, we are now all publishers, Don. We're all in the publishing game, whether it's, you know, your Facebook page or your Twitter page or your blog. I mean, you got to continually put out content that connects with your audience, and that takes time. It's a lot of that's a whole different, you know, operational thing for a small business. So you know, don't try and do it all yourself is the point. And you can find very talented younger folks out there that won't cost you a lot who are really good at what they do.
Would you mind repeating? You said a wonderful statement. It's an investment, not a cost.
Would
you mind repeating that? Because I think that's a wonderful statement that should be repeated.
So much of marketing, Don, is really an investment nowadays. I mean, 20 or 30 years ago, it was more on the cost side. But because you can measure all this stuff, we got the analytics at our fingertips. We can see what's working and what's not working very quickly. So if something's not working on your Facebook page, or you're doing some Facebook advertising, for example, and something's not working, you can pull that ad, change the ad copy, change the creative, and then try something else. So that's really the lesson, is that once you continually, you know, analyze and see the ROI and tweak it and A-B test it, then you can get better and better and get the ROI that you're looking for. So, yeah, that's why marketing can really be an investment. Now, sales is a different beast. We won't get into that. A lot of people confuse sales with marketing. Sales is definitely more cost-driven. But marketing, if you do it correctly and you do it intelligently using content marketing, not the advertising piece of it, but content marketing effectively, it will be an investment for you in the long run.
We're talking with John Wibben.
Yep.
His company is Content Launch. John, in the few minutes we have left, what are the two or three things you've learned that you'd like to pass on to our audience?
You know, over the years, I've been in this business a long time, and what I've realized is that, you know, we all kind of fall in love with our companies. We all fall in love with our products and services, and we love what we do, a lot of us out there. And what I would caution folks, what I would recommend is take a step back. You know, talk to your customers more frequently. Try and get inside their head. Understand what keeps them up at night. Know what their pain points are. I think we're so busy running our companies that we kind of forget about that sometimes. We kind of get lost in that. And what's interesting is when you actually talk to folks and pick up the phone or, you know, give them an email survey, you find out something interesting and new every time. And we're just not doing that enough. We're not talking to our customers enough. So that's number one. Don't try and tackle it all at once. You know, we get overwhelmed by hearing that, oh, we've got to do a blog and we got to have a Facebook page, we got to be on LinkedIn and we got to produce all this content. What I would recommend is, you know, just take one of those and get really good at it first. Whether it's your YouTube channel, your Facebook page, or your blog, pick one of those and do it really well for 3 or 4 months and then go on to the next thing. If you do everything kind of, you know, if you do everything kind of mediocre, you're going to get mediocre results. And this stuff can be kind of hard to set up and maintain. So that's what I would recommend is just choose one, you know, distribution point, one content mechanism, one content channel first, get that going, and then move on to the next thing. I think those two pieces of advice would serve your audience pretty well.
Well, that's really great advice. But you brought up another point. Does Content Launch also help you in terms of your video, or is that something on the drawing boards?
Yeah, it is on the drawing boards. We're not there yet. Video is a pretty big one to tackle, but we definitely have that on the product roadmap. We're probably looking to support video content within 7 or 8 months. We're looking forward to getting on that. And obviously, video is very powerful and continues to grow with so many companies now doing video. So,
yes, it's gonna. They say now video is the new content. But anyway, we're talking with John Wibben. It's I think been illuminating and fast paced time together. John, your website for our listeners one more time.
You bet. It's Content Launch, like you're launching a rocket, contentlaunch.com. Folks can sign up for a free account with our platform, and we'd love to get their feedback and see what they think of it.
And thank you so much. A link to his website will be on recalculating.biz tonight, where you can hear this and every other past and future Recalculating program, as well as tell us a guest you might want to hear. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it.
That was really good, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're a very articulate spokesman and had some really good thoughts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Have a great Labor Day. This should be up within either next week or the following week.
Very good. I look forward to seeing it.
You got it. It'll be on recalculating.biz if you want to download it or anything. Okay?
Okay, cool. Well, have a great weekend, Don. Thanks again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.